present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. And we are coming to you from the BBC Radio Theatre here in the glittering heart of London's corporate office district. Today we find ourselves in an empty theatre, nothing to do with COVID regulations, just an unfortunate ticketing error. The box office inadvertently revealed who was on the show. This series, we'll be visiting each nation and region of the UK through the magic of the internet. And tonight, our virtual audience all come from the south of England. Yay! Of course, not everybody in the south had time to apply for tickets. Listeners in Kent were busy preparing for the hop harvest. In Somerset, they were run off their feet producing cider. And in Bristol, many potential audience members found themselves slap bang in the middle of the rioting season. The capital's most famous theatre is the Globe on London's South Bank. Back in Elizabethan times, the Globe would host daily open-air productions of Shakespeare's plays. Even more popular than these were the cloudless summer evenings when the Globe reopened as Ye Olde Planetarium. This year, Buckingham Palace announced they'll be opening up their gardens to the public for picnics. Guests are reminded they won't be invited into the palace and are highly unlikely to meet Prince Charles or speak with any senior royals. The event has been branded the Prince Harry Experience. The Oxford and Cambridge boat race is held on the Thames each year in April, the same month as the Grand National, and the comparisons don't end there. Both races started in the early 19th century, both enjoy similar viewing figures, and 2 years ago, when a member of the Oxford crew sprained his ankle, he was taken out the back and shot. The Thames is surely the south of England's defining river, flowing from Gloucestershire to Essex. It's said that a single drop of rain joining the Thames at its source will have been inside eight people before it reaches the sea. Of course, much the same has been said of Boris Johnson on holiday. To the east of London is Essex, whose attractions include the Tiptree Jam Museum, which honours the county's age-old tradition of preserve making. The museum's gift shop sells a wide range of products, including Essex Marmalade, not just its best-selling preserve, but also the most requested skin tone in its on-site tanning salon. The county of Suffolk is home to the National Jockey School. The school boasts an excellent reputation, and a recent Ofsted report rated it good, good to firm in places. In Bristol, a statue of Edward Colston was pulled down by protesters, and in Oxford, a statue of Cecil Rhodes was attacked by student activists. To avoid further student attacks, Oxford City Council now only open the statue to the public when Pointless is on. The county of Cornwall is rapidly gaining a reputation as the UK's premier wine-producing region. At a virtual meeting of the International Wine Awards in Paris this year, one judge described a Bodmin Pinot Noir as giving out notes of dark chocolate, roast beef and burnt toast. Sadly, it was denied a potential gold medal when the judge in question revealed his dishwasher wasn't draining properly. Perhaps the Southwest's most famous attraction is the Glastonbury Festival, which is held on a working dairy farm every other year. On fallow years, the farmer allows his herd to return to the fields to graze on the grass trampled by music fans. Fallow year milk flies out of the gift shop, especially the gold top from the reggae field, which has a street value of £300 a pint. And talking of being put out to grass, let's meet the teams. They are, on my right, Tony Hawks and Henning Vane. Yay! And on my left, Vicky Pepperdine and Marcus Brigstock. Yay! And taking her place at the desk next to me to enjoy an evening of scoring, please welcome the ever delightful Samantha. Yes, well, we start this week with a game to make Henning feel at home. It's called German Jokes. I didn't say that as a joke. Many British people are inclined to believe the mistaken stereotype that Germans have no sense of humour. And to disprove this, Henning has brought along some of his favourite examples of German humour to share with us. So, Henning, if you'd be kind enough to start us off by telling a typical German joke, and I'll ask the others to share some of their favourites as well.
What do you get when you cross a kangaroo with a sheep? You get a debate over the morals and ethics of genetic engineering.
Vicky.
What do you call a man with a spade in his head? A priority patient.
Tony.
My wife's just gone on holiday to the West Indies.
Jamaica?
No, Trinidad and Tobago.
Marcus.
How many electricians does it take to change a light bulb? One.
Your mama is so fat, she needs to consider including more healthy choices in her diet, like green leafy vegetables.
What's yellow and dangerous? Hepatitis.
A man visits his doctor and says, I think I'm a pair of curtains. So the doctor has him involuntarily committed under Section 2 of the Mental Health Act 1983.
How does Bob Marley like his donuts? He doesn't. He has been dead for almost 40 years.
Although, I understand he used to like the ones with jam as a filling.
A man walks into a pub. He is an alcoholic whose drink problem is destroying his family. Well, on that note, why did my grandfather cross the road? To occupy France.
The next round, word for word, is all about words. And in this round, each team takes it in turn to exchange a series of random words, and the job of the opposing team is to challenge if they detect a connection between any of them. OK, I'd like you to start exchanging completely unconnected words, Marcus and Vicky. Tony and Henning, your job is to try to spot a connection, and if I uphold the challenge, I'll ask you to take over, and so on. So off you go, please, Marcus and Vicky.
Clamp.
Charity.
Flask.
Tony came in with a challenge.
Well, I bought a flask in a charity shop only about 2 years ago now.
Knowing you, I certainly believe that anecdote. And so yes, I there is a connection there. You unwittingly stumbled across. So over to you, Tony and Henning.
Okay. Phlegm.
Shoe.
Cathartic.
Gubbins.
Stem cell.
Upheaval.
Furlong.
Bamboozled.
Marcus came in with a challenge there. With...
Yes, I don't think anyone knows how long a furlong is. Every time it's mentioned, I think all of us feel completely bamboozled. It's really the horses I feel sorry for.
It's a very good spot indeed, Marcus, and I was wondering who was going to come up with it, so well done you.
Thank you.
Over to Marcus and Vicky.
Asparagus.
Nugget.
Lewis.
Chapter.
Potato.
Henning came in with a challenge.
There is a Hells Angels chapter in Lewis.
Quite sparsely attended, but nonetheless, I have to admit.
Well, you have to start somewhere, don't you?
Yeah.
I've heard they're the most polite Hells Angels chapter ever meet. But no, you are right, though. There is a Hells Angel chapter in Lewis, I've just been informed. And so, yes, it's over to Henning and Tony.
Zealous.
Puzzlement.
Yawning.
What's it?
Needle.
Bric-a-brac.
Stentorian.
Palaver.
Well, Marcus came in with a challenge there. What was the...
Well, I think the entire game can be described as a palaver, so I'm linking that word to all of the previous words.
Yes, I think I can give you that. I think that's a perfectly valid challenge. Oh. And there goes the gong. Doesn't time fly when you're having fun?
I don't know yet.
Next up, we judge the mood of the nation to perfection with a round that's all about the world of medicine. Next slide, please. It's called The Symptoms. Next slide, please. We might think we're a nation of health-obsessed hypochondriacs and fussy eaters, but it's actually been going on for generations. My old grandmother insisted her husband have a testicle removed after she discovered only the smallest of lumps, and we were very glad she did. His mashed potato improved beyond measure after that. In this round, one team will be suffering from an unusual condition which the other team, our doctors, will have to diagnose. Right, you can be our first patients, Marcus and Vicky. The identity of your mystery medical condition is now being displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Marcus and Vicky think they're eggs. Marcus and Vicky think they're eggs.
Off you go.
Come on in.
Thank you.
Lovely to see you.
Yes. Thanks, doctors. We won't be long, actually, will we? No, probably 5 minutes and we'll be done.
Yes.
It's been very difficult.
My sex life's pretty much non-existent. So I'm not sure I'll ever be laid again.
I mean, yesterday honestly, I'm finding everything really difficult and I just completely cracked.
Yeah. It's been equally hard for me. I've got intimacy issues. I can't stand being coddled.
Yeah, and actually, interestingly, you know, people keep trying to bring me out of my shell, but I'm worried I'll just fall apart.
I mean, I used to have a family of my own, but that's all over.
While I remember it, I'm actually a bit concerned about this mark on my bottom in the shape of a lion.
It's been getting worse too. I mean, yesterday I woke up feeling completely rotten and ended up just throwing myself at Matt Hancock. Don't sit there and smirk at us. This isn't some sort of yoke.
Okay, I think that's enough.
Yes. Well, they think they're eggs. Is that it? They think they're eggs?
They think they're eggs, they do. OK, well, it's your turn to be the patients now, Tony and Henning, and you've just been summoned into the surgery of Doctors Marcus and Vicky. The identity of your mystery medical condition will now be displayed to the audience via the laser display board, while here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Tony and Henning think they're whales. Tony and Henning think they're whales.
So when you're ready, off you go.
Morning, do come in.
Right, OK. Well, we're feeling... Well, very up and down.
Yeah. One minute I'm up.
Yep. The next minute I'm down.
Up and down, up and down. That's me. I'm depressed.
Yeah. Blue, even.
Yes, I'm blue.
Yeah, but we don't want to just come in here and spout about our problems.
No, no. We will just end up blubbering. The main problem... Apart from the hump, is that I talk too loud.
Yes, yes. Well, you've got a big mouth.
People say they can hear me from miles away.
Yes. I think what we really need is a break, you know, get away somewhere, like the beach. You know, listen to some Bob Marley.
I don't like his backing band.
Well, you could still go to the beach, though.
Yeah, but I'm frightened if I go to a beach, I won't be able to leave.
Yeah. They won't be able to drag you away, will they?
Yeah. You know, there is only one thing I'm any good at.
Ah, what's that?
Well, they say I blow very well.
Ah, now that's a job you do very well.
Yeah, I'm known for my spectacular blow job.
Yes. Didn't think we'd get away with saying that, but anyway. But you're definitely blue, not sperm?
Actually, I'm a killer.
Me too. Let's eat the doctors.
Well, Dr. Pepperdine, I have some idea what this might be.
Shall I say
yes.
What I think is wrong with you two? I think you're whales.
Yes. OK, this next game celebrates clichés and idioms, which are, of course, phrases that betray a lack of original thought. The French poet Gérard de Nerval wrote, "The first man who compared a woman to a rose was a poet, the second, an imbecile." Mr. Nerval didn't last long at Hallmark. In this game, I'd like the teams to suggest some common English clichés and their meanings. So, Tony, could you start, please?
His ears were burning. We were talking about him at his cremation.
Vicky.
I'm going to see a man about a dog. I'm going dogging.
Henning.
She's too big for her boots. The chemist is widening its doors.
Well, I've known her through thick and thin. We were introduced by the Beckhams.
You won't hear the end of this. You're listening to In Our Time with Melvin Bragg.
Were you born in a barn? This week on Who Do You Think You Are? Jesus.
As soon as he had passed, he was walking on air. He didn't see the sign saying beachy head.
Would you please stop beating around the bush? I came here for a Brazilian. Get on with it.
She went behind his back. There wasn't a convenient bush by the roadside.
I made this from scratch. I call it cat casserole.
The child is the father of the man. They're from Norfolk.
Well, the next game is a musical one entitled Song Stoppers. With the prospect of venues, theatres and festivals welcoming back the public, it's imperative that audiences feel safe in a post-pandemic world. Many well-known bands have taken it upon themselves to help build that trust by changing their names to a more COVID-secure version. So this summer, look out for The Pfizer Chiefs, Not Too Crowded House, and The Grateful Not to Be Dead. In this round, panellists from each team will take it in turn to sing the opening line to a series of well-known songs, and it's the job of their teammate to answer each opening line in a manner likely to end the song altogether. And piano accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. Incidentally, Colin was telling us he once toured with Cardi B. Apparently Cardi A was at the dry cleaners. Okay, so you can go first, Marcus and Vicky. Can we have your medley of first lines now, please?
The road is long, with many a winding turn.
God, I wish you'd used the bloody sat-nav.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
Well, all right, speaking as a doctor, yes, that is a perfectly normal penis. I could have danced all night.
Yes, but that's not how Strictly works. You've been voted off, now go home. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where the wedding has been.
And makes an absolutely terrible risotto. Knowing me, knowing you,
is basically how you get a contract to manufacture PPE.
Doe, a deer, a female deer.
Fenton! Benton! Benton! Oh, Jesus Christ! Benton!
Thank you, Marcus and Vicky. Your turn now, Henning and Tony. Can we have your first line medley now, please?
You must remember this.
I do. Now put it away.
I am just a poor boy, though my story's seldom told.
Yes, let's keep it that way.
I'm glad you're enjoying yourself, Henning.
Yeah. No one's ever asked me to sing. It's priceless.
I wonder why not.
Come on, Cole, play another one. I'm in the mood now. I can tell by your eyes that you've probably been crying forever.
Not forever, just since you started singing, actually. It's been 7 hours and 15 days.
Can you use the downstairs toilet?
Well, since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell.
Yes, and welcome to Stevenage.
Give you anything but my love.
Well, I want a tofu burger. Get me the manager.
She was just 17. Well, you know what I mean.
Well, we do indeed, Your Royal Highness.
It's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a round of... You've no idea how sarcastic that sounds. There is just time, however, to fit in a round of Breadmaker's Songbook. Last weekend, Samantha had a local gentleman friend round to teach him the fine art of bread making. It began with each of them preparing a dough in the kitchen. In just half an hour, his had started to rise, and just as soon as it had doubled in size, they were knocking back at his place. Anyway, teams, in this round, I'd like you please to suggest titles of songs likely to prove popular with bread makers. Marcus, you could start.
What's the matter, you? Hey, gotta no respect. Why you feeling so sad? It's a not so bad. It's a nicer place. Arch your butt to your face.
I think it was worth the distance.
I do.
It was great, but I didn't know. Are we meant to sing them, Jack?
Yeah, you can sing them. It would be good. Well, you're not supposed to sing them, actually. No, you're not.
I think. Oh, sorry. Right. I withdraw it.
No, Marcus's would have made no sense at all. If you just said it, I'd have thought you were having a breakdown.
But oh.
But no, you can say them, Vicky. It's
okay.
Fine.
Oh, thanks,
it's
Jack.
Fine. Yeah, it's okay. Henning.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow dolka dot panini. Can I withdraw that as well?
Tony.
I won't let the bun go brown on me.
Vicky.
Stop, wait a minute, Mr. Toastman. Thank you.
It looks like we are singing them then. This is good news.
It's sort of got desperate.
It's bad news for Henning.
But what I need is more encouragement, not someone putting me down here. So...
Dem scones, dem scones, dem dry scones.
Things can only chub butter.
Baps the way, I slice it,
Non, rien de rien, non, je ne baguette rien.
Why don't you come on over, Granary?
No, woman no rye.
You don't bring me flour anymore.
I like to prove it, prove it.
We all live in a yellow submarine sandwich.
I want to bake three.
You're the scone that I want.
Knock, knock, knocking back heaven's door.
You can leave your baton.
Like a pop out of hell, I'll be gone when the morning comes. By Maltloaf.
Unbaggettable, that's what you are.
Interesting to note how good everyone is without the piano, isn't it?
Smack my batch up.
Old MacDonald had a bum, E-I-E-I-O, la 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 la, la and pick some more of ya. He had a whole, he had the full set, he did.
Well, I guess lockdown has hit some people harder than others. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the top-heavy tanker of time stymies the Suez Canal of serenity and the clueless sea captain of calamity receives the P45 of posterity, I notice it's the end of the show. So, from the teams, Samantha, myself and our virtual audience from the south of England, it's goodbye. Goodbye!
Tony Hawkes, Marcus Brigstock, Vicky Pepperdine and Henning Vane are being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Fraser Steele and Stephen Dick, and the producer was John Naismith.